Good morning, everyone. We have a very interesting chapter today in Acts chapter 10. A couple of things that I want to say to preview the chapter is this. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that he was going to bless him with a family and then said, I'm going to bless you and I want you to be a blessing to the nations. And essentially, part of the promise given to Abraham is that Abraham have a blessed family and that people would see the blessing upon Abraham's family and that they would be like, I want to follow the God of Abraham as I see the God of Abraham has blessed Abraham. And so that's something that God set up, but it didn't turn out as well as it could have from the standpoint of when God's people all throughout the Old Testament intermixed with the nations around them. Instead of them being just a light to the nations around them, they would many times take on the gods of the nations around them and worship false gods because they intermixed and intermarried with the nations around them who had false gods. So later on, as we approach the New Testament in the days of Jesus, there was a greater separation between Jew and Gentile, and the Pharisees, the religious Jewish leaders of the day, tend to look at Gentiles as like dogs and really just looked at them as dirty and didn't want to interact with them, wanted to see themselves as set apart and holy as God's special family, but really not having a heart for the people around them. And, you know, Jesus really challenged those Pharisees a lot. But we see that perception sometimes even being in the apostles, because it was just part of their culture that they looked at themselves as God's family and others as dirty and not. So another brief thing that in chapter 9 of Acts we saw, and I really didn't recall this in the past, but two men were sent to Peter in verse 38, and said, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose and went with them. And God sent some people to Peter, and he ended up going and healing Dorcas. So that experience of having two people sent by God to him to go have him do something is also figuring into this chapter. All right, well, now with that backdrop, let's get into chapter 10. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. So here we have a Gentile Roman soldier leader who did worship Yahweh and had a heart for Judaism and the Jewish people and had a good reputation. Because people were allowed, even though they weren't, you know, part of Israel or Jewish by birth, they were allowed to worship Yahweh. And, you know, those people would be looked at a little bit differently, but still, again, they should have been looked at more openly and being welcomed by the Jewish people. But culturally, that's not what they were doing in that day. So about the ninth hour, this Cornelius of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, and what a remarkable thing this is, an angel speaking to Cornelius. And the angel said, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Isn't that cool? You know, I was just reading from Daniel chapter 9, and when Daniel in chapter 9 was realizing that the time was coming to an end of their time in Israel, because it was going to be, or in Babylon, it was going to be 70 years, and Daniel had this beautiful prayer of repentance in chapter 9, and while he was praying, the angel Gabriel responded to Daniel's prayer. And here we see that here. We see that Cornelius was a man after God's own heart and prayer, and it rose up before God. And, you know, God hears and God knows. And may we be, you know, men and women of God who pray and trust that God is listening to your prayers. Hallelujah. Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. So isn't this something? This angel is telling Cornelius to send some man to Peter. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour. So this is kind of like happening simultaneously, or at least, you know, in the same 24-hour period that God is giving this assignment to Cornelius to send for Peter, and Peter's going to get a vision. So Peter, Joppa was on the sea, and Peter was on the top of a house, and he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, this is really quite cool that for those of you, and if you don't know, you know, we're going through the entire Bible as a church, and anyone who wants to partake, and we're 6 months in. We began in Genesis. We've done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I believe we've done Matthew, Luke, and now we're in the book of Acts. Well, we've covered a lot of this in the law. The Jewish people had a law, and there were animals that were clean, that means they could eat them, and animals that God said were unclean and that they shouldn't eat, and that was part of the Old Testament law. And part of that law, you know, also indicated that God had a special family, the Jewish people, and all though they were supposed to be a blessing to the nations, as we talked about, they weren't always. They separated. So part of the law was this separation. And what God is beginning to indicate to Peter here is that the Old Testament law has been transformed in the new covenant. And part of it is that the food laws no longer are binding. You can now eat, you have freedom to eat what you want to eat, and you don't have to go by the Old Testament law anymore. And this is going to be hard for Peter to understand, because this is, you know, thousands of years of history. It's been this way, and now it's changing. And that's why not only did Peter need a vision and a trance, but he needed to see this three times and be told directly to go ahead and kill and eat this food, because he would think that this was improper for him to do so. There's been a lot changed, and this is something, you know, again, if you've been through the journey with us, you're learning that, you know, we have to have a New Testament lens for the scriptures. And in fact, even yesterday, we were talking about the Sabbath and at a Bible study, and you know what? We don't have the Sabbath the way we did before. First of all, the Jews met on Saturdays, and they had a Sabbath on Saturday. Christians now meet on Sundays, but in addition, we're not to be judged by which day or by Sabbaths, because it that is not something carried into the New Testament gospel, that the Sabbath is to be honored as it was before. We're not under that law anymore. And God has made that clear, and Jesus, you know, argued many times regarding the Sabbath with the Jews about having freedom and that he was Lord of the Sabbath. But anyways, this happened three times. Now, verse 17, while Peter was greatly perplexed, because again, this was so new and fresh at this time, you know, it's not something we really struggle with today. I think you guys eat pork, shrimp, and, you know, different animals, and you're not worried about what the Old Testament has to say about it. But at this time, they really were. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, and this, God just has this great timing. Behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Now, this is very interesting. A Jew and a Gentile would not normally be found in the same house. They wouldn't be together like that. And that's why the Gentiles waited outside the gate, and also why the angel that's speaking to Peter right now is saying, don't have misgivings, because these guys are Gentiles. But don't worry, Peter, I want you to go to them, because, you know, the gospel is being made known, and they're just really fully realizing this and coming to understand this now. The gospel's for anyone, Greek, Jew, slave, or free. Anyone who comes to Jesus now can be part of the family of God. But this angel had to tell Peter it's okay to go with these Gentiles. So verse 21, Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you were looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? And, you know, again, remember how in the previous chapter, some people were sent by God and Peter went. Now, those weren't Gentiles, I don't believe, that he went and healed Tabitha. But now Peter's, I think, more likely to believe all this that's going on, because God had recently just sent some people to him to go, and now it's happening. So they said, they're going to tell him now why they were sent. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. So, hey, Peter's being pretty gracious here. He invites these Gentiles in. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now, Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and close friends. Isn't that great? He's like, you guys got to come here from Peter. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. What honor Cornelius is showing. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. And that's awesome. You know, Jesus raised up just average, ordinary fishermen, tax collectors to be his servants. And, you know, hallelujah, the humility of Peter here to respond in this way. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit with him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. So really that vision that Peter got was not only about food, but just about the massive changes that are taking place in the church age that anyone can come to Jesus. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason have you sent for me? Cornelius said, 4 days ago at this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He's staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here, present before God, to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Wow, God is just setting up a divine appointment. You know, it's cool when God gives this kind of honor and people really want to hear what you have to say. You know, briefly, there's a young man who, you know, I've been friends with and whom I baptized, and he's away at college now. And I approached him about doing a Bible study maybe with some of his teammates. He's on a football team. And you know what? He was able to gather up four teammates, so five total, and we do an online Bible study together. But, you know, because I have a good relationship with this young man, and I think he respects and honors me, he went and told those other young men, hey, you got to meet Jay and come to this Bible study. I think you'll really enjoy it. And they all came. And that's a really tremendous thing. And, you know, praise God for people that have that kind of impact on the people around them. And here Cornelius, in his honor of Peter's, invites all his friends and family to come hear from him. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Isn't that great? And we learn about that. God is not a respecter of persons, meaning anyone can come to the front of the line and come to faith in Jesus. But in every nation, and that means whether you're Jew or Gentile, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Hallelujah. Anybody can come to Jesus. Peter, you know, as much as God's wanting Cornelius and these people to understand the gospel, and we're going to see that today, hallelujah, I think this is also ministry, significant ministry to Peter early in the church age to help Peter, because he struggled with this. He struggled with leaving the Jewish law behind, and how much of the law do we need to follow today? And that's going to come up again as we go through our journey through the book of Acts. Peter was greatly challenged by this, and I think he needed this vision in order to be set free from the law. The word which he sent, verse 36, to the sons of Israel, preaching peace, peace with God, a hallelujah, through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John the Baptist proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. By the way, Jesus did good. Hallelujah. Jesus did good things. There's no reason not to follow him. He is God. He is Lord. And he's good. Hallelujah. We are witnesses of all the things he did. We were there when he did miracles, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. You know what's amazing? Is the message is not that fancy here. Listen, Jesus did great things. They put him to death, hanging him on a cross, and God raised him up on the third day. Jesus was raised from the dead, y'all. There's the gospel message. Jesus beat death. God raised him up on the third day, and granted that he become visible. He showed himself alive again, not to all the people, but to the witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. We saw him alive and literally ate and drank with him. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly to testify that this is the one whom has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. We're all going to stand before him one day. You might as well accept him now and get right with God now through Jesus Christ, because the judge is coming. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone, hallelujah, who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. The new covenant, I will remember your sins no more. And everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins, whether Jew or Gentile. Hallelujah. Now listen, Cornelius was set up, and he was waiting for this message. And what it's remarkable what's going to happen now. Because while Peter was still speaking these words, Cornelius and the rest didn't even say anything, but I'll tell you what happened. God knew they were set up. They were ready to believe. They heard the gospel. They heard it's through Jesus and his resurrection and faith in him that you can have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And they believed it in their hearts, and God knew it. And right then and there, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message. That room, the Holy Spirit just dropped. Because they heard the gospel and they believed. And when God genuinely knows that you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit too. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter, Jews, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this was like big news to them. Hey, Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, in this particular instance, there was a remarkable, a visible sign of the Holy Spirit, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So they were singing praises to God and even speaking in tongues. And this was a sign to everyone there that they had received the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already seen in the book of Acts that people have had joy when they've had, when the Holy Spirit's come upon them. And not everyone did speak in tongues, but these men did. Hallelujah, and praise God that they did. Then Peter answered and said, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Wouldn't it have been great to spend time with Peter? But one of the things I want us to see here is that, let's say someone's been water baptized, but they didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Someone would lay their hands on them and say, you know what? We need to recognize the Holy Spirit and pray over them for the Holy Spirit. If someone had the Holy Spirit, but they weren't water baptized, they'd say, you know what? Have you been water baptized in Jesus? You should get water baptized. So it's like, it's both and. You want to have both and. You want to have spirit baptism and you want to have water baptism. And you'll see this in the book of Acts more often as we go through it, that if they had one but not the other, they would make sure they had both. And have you been baptized in water and spirit? Because that's what we need. We need both. And you know, in theory, when we place our faith in Jesus and we get water baptized, we should get spirit baptized. But sometimes people get water baptized as infants, or maybe as a young child, or maybe before they ever really truly believe. Maybe they get baptized for the wrong reason because someone else is getting baptized, so they just go along with it. And sometimes, you know, then we need to recognize that they didn't get baptized in the Spirit and they didn't get born again, and they need to place their trust in Jesus, and we can pray over them for a recognition of the Spirit. And we even see people in the New Testament that were water baptized by John's baptism, John the Baptist, that is, before the full gospel age came about after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then they were rebaptized in water. And that's why I don't get hung up on it about rebaptizing someone in water too, because if they're not sure they're saved and they're not sure they sense the Holy Spirit working in them, then we want to baptize them, lay hands on them, pray for them, and, man, help them to get right with Jesus and begin to walk in the Holy Spirit power to live for him. So what a great and glorious chapter. You know, sometimes we don't understand today as a non-Israelite, as a non-Jew, how blessed we are that God has opened up the gospel message to any and all who believe. Hallelujah. Those who believe in Jesus are part of the family of God and even part of the family of Abraham. We've been blessed and grafted into the vine, and praise God for that. God loves you. He died for you, and make yourself a child of God through faith in him. God bless you all.